Welcome back to the next episode of What's Up, Prof. Hello, Walter.
Good day to you. How are you today?
I'm good.
See, but the Bible says nobody is good. No, not one.
Not one. I'm sorry. I'm well.
That's fine.
I see, unplanned, we've decided to wear blue shirts today.
Yes, but I'm compartmentalized. You're not.
Let's open with a word of prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we have such an important subject to discuss. We ask that you bless us with the workings of the Holy Spirit and also the viewers. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Yes, we're going to talk about treading the winepress alone. And why are we doing this? Because, you know, there are so many winds of doctrine blowing out there. And there are so many people and so many groups that are waiting for some kind of savior. And there are so many conspiracy theories.
Yeah.
And there are so many websites. And if you start talking in line with what many of these people are saying, you might be in an area that has a lot of truth in it, but it also has a twist to it.
Yes.
And if you say anything in line with any of these groups, automatically you are put into the same drawer. You are a conspiracy theorist.
Correct.
Now, we must excuse the brethren that cannot discern between conspiracy theory and prophecy. We will always have them with us.
Yeah.
But we've consistently said that we are dealing with prophecy and not with conspiracy theories. So an interesting phenomenon is that a lot of these very prominent web pages and speakers that are known to be, in terms of the rest of the world, conspiracy theorists, are actually people that have New Age connections, right?
Yes, correct. A lot of the YouTube videos that we've seen lately that came out when the COVID struck and the vaccine was coming to the fore. So you've got a lot of these videos, for instance, Judy Mikovits, that was in that Plandemic video.
Yes.
The guy that made that video, Mickey Willis, he's got New Age
connections,
and the language that they, all of these people use, have buzzwords that you can trace back to New Age. For instance, the Great Awakening.
Yes.
You have to awaken, and then if you, I mean, we've got Alex Jones, David Icke.
Yes.
All of these are New Ages.
And they speak about a lot of things which make sense. And then they have these twists to it, like David Icke, who talks about the reptilians and the Queen of England being actually a reptile and things like that. Now, you know, obviously people are going to put that sort of thing into what we would call a lunatic fringe. And other things, again, sound sensible. So this is something that is designed to confuse the mind.
Exactly. The problem is you've got, like you said, quite a lot of truth in this. But the end result is not biblical.
No.
Most of them, like QAnon and the people that are so pro-Trump, for instance, they see him as a sort of savior that will drain the swamp of all this evil.
Yes.
But
the evil will be with us right until
right
the end.
Right until the end. That's what I would like to emphasize. We're not going to see anything happen on this earth that's going to make it better. Now there's not going to be any person or institution.
Now, we can look at all of these and say this is going to happen or that's going to happen. And we've had many prophets on, which are now not in the conspiracy realm, really. But it is strange how some of these people play the religious role and the New Age role at the same time.
Yeah. I was just thinking also now, just to, for another name to put out there, I've mentioned Mickey Willis. But you've got Dr. Buttar.
Yes.
Him and Mickey Willis are friends.
Yes, they're one and the same. They're talking the same language.
And there was a video that I saw where Dr. Buttar was giving some wonderful new information or something, and Mickey Willis came onto the screen as well. So they all
working together.
So just to get people open up your eyes and use the Bible rather than a savior type figure that can
and they get banned and they get back on and they get banned and they get back on, and it's all very strange, isn't it?
Yeah.
Now, when you're talking about reptilians, for example, like David Icke says, if you were still talking about a Luciferian conspiracy, then you could depict Lucifer as the serpent, which is reptilian. But he makes it a literal thing, right? There really are reptiles. So this makes it all very conspiratorial and actually puts truth into a light of which is actually ridiculing the truth.
Yeah, that's where the problem comes in, because now they've got good information. But unfortunately,
It's linked to something. Correct.
So we've used them in the past. We've used some of their material.
The information is interesting.
It's very good. Yeah, that if you can verify it, of course.
And, yes.
Or you can see that you can use it. But just for a warning, maybe.
Yeah.
People don't just take everything they say.
So what is the point of starting this whole discussion in this way? Well, the point is that people are looking at all of these people that are introducing this great hope of a wonderful age that is going to come, the grand awakening, a new age, and an age of enlightenment. And the Bible says exactly the opposite. Mm-hmm. The Bible says it's going to be darkness. The morning is coming, but also the night, right? But the night precedes the morning.
Yes.
So we are heading towards darkness. The only one who can save you, the only one that you can rely on, is Jesus Christ. And I read this morning, when I was reading a little bit, I read this morning that those people who do not have a longing for the Lord to come can't really love him. Those people who want to say the Lord delays his coming and are always looking for a long life on this earth, there's something missing in their soul. Because if you really understand the difference between light and darkness, then the coming of the Lord must be the great hope, right?
Correct.
So let us look at this issue of who the Savior is and how humanity will be saved and how those who reject this great light will have to bear certain consequences.
Yes.
Because everybody knows that this world is heading towards a calamity. And everybody is looking for a savior.
Yes.
But they're looking under the wrong bush.
Yes.
Here's an article about Sunday protection. It's in German. And it is from a trade union, really, that wants to have Sunday rest. And they're going to celebrate 1,700 years for the Sunday, the Great Jubilee. And when will that Great Jubilee be? It will be on the 3rd of March, 2021. And they, together with many other trade unions, want to make a big display on this Great Jubilee to make sure that this great heritage of mankind is not lost. So what is all this about? So here it says, dear interested people, the theme is Sunday. And it says, yes, the Sunday and the protection of Sunday has a birthday. It really has a birthday. And this is when Sunday was first publicly proclaimed. And it happened in the year 321, on the 3rd of March, in the year 321 after Christ, there was the declaration by the Emperor Constantine, and he sanctified the Sunday. And this was his declaration. I read it here from the German. I'll translate it. To all judges, to the townspeople, to the businesses, and what does he want to do on that day? They must honor the day of the sun, and they must rest. And in this way, the Sunday protection law, exactly 1,700 years old, will be celebrated on the 3rd of March in Essing at 11 o'clock. And they're going to have speeches and all kinds of activities. They want the Sunday back. And this is a reality. This is what the Bible says what is going to happen. And no QAnon or anybody else for that matter is going to stop this. They say further that without Sunday, we are just busy, 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 busy. Without Sunday, we would only have work days. Nothing else but work. Without Sunday, we would have no time for the family. Without Sunday, we would just hear noise and trucks driving around. Without Sunday, we wouldn't have a festive church gathering. In other words, without Sunday, everything would be nothing. So they're adamant they want the Sunday back. And they will be celebrating this on the 3rd of the 3rd in the year 2021. That's just a few months away. So there is this movement. Now, are they alone in this issue? The answer is no. They have many, many organizations and trade unions on their side. And they continue to say that the Sunday is not just like any other day. And then they tell you why it's not like every other day. It's a day for community. It's a day for rest. It's a day for the family. You know, all of those arguments. And respecting the Sunday is a measure of what the world's moral compass is. That's interesting.
Mm-hmm.
So respect for the Sunday reflects the moral compass of the world. Now, the Bible knows nothing about this, but this is what they are aiming for. Now, here's another organization, the Alliance for the Free Sunday, and they're talking about the October impulse and that Sunday has a birthday. So this is another organization, and they're saying the same thing. On the 3rd of March in the year 321, after Christ, officially the Sunday was instituted, and they want to bring it back. And they don't want false compromises. They want real Sunday legislation. This is a fact of the matter. Now, is QAnon going to save you from this?
Nope. They're probably going to be part of it.
Is any politician going to save you from this?
No.
Who is going to save you from this? This is the question.
What do we have to answer?
Now, the world is heading for a great reset, right?
Yep.
And one of the people that is very prominent in this movement is, of course, Klaus Schwab. Now, Klaus Schwab, he is with the World Economic Forum.
Mm-hmm.
And he makes no bones about it as to how he sees the coronavirus as this great opportunity for this great reset.
Yes.
And we've discussed this in our previous talks, how the environmental issues will lock into that. And eventually, all of them want to have a free Sunday.
Yes.
because that's the way in which you cut emissions dramatically. Mm-hmm. There will be no trucks on the road. It will be calm. It will be quiet. Most industries will shut down. We will save a lot of energy. What a brilliant idea, they will be saying. And this is a reality that is coming upon the world, whether we like it or not. Honorary doctor of this university, Kaunas University of Technology, Industry 4 must be followed by Education 4. So this man is very prominent, and we should have a look at what he has to say. There's no other way.
No other way.
It's going to go that way. Whether you want a savior or whether you don't, whether you believe that this is a temporary glitch or not, this is going to happen. And this is not a conspiracy.
No.
This is just the fact.
People can rewatch our episode that we did on the Great Reset.
Yes.
And he's not alone. Remember how many...
Oh, there were many there, the but we're not going to play them again.
And recently Trudeau from Canada, there's a nice video of where he mentioned this Great Reset, and now he's backtracking a little bit and saying that anybody that thinks it's a conspiracy can keep on with their conspiracy theories. But they're talking the same talk.
They're talking the same talk, and they want to walk the same walk. Now, this is the real issue that we're dealing with. Because prophetically, this is moving in a direction which the Bible has pertinently predicted. And people must know what the choice is. Mm. And people must know who the choice is. Who is going to save us from this situation? Because we're heading for a clash between the moral values of this world and the moral values of God. So let us do a little bit of a recap and go right to the beginning of things. Here is a quote. Cast out of heaven, Satan set up his kingdom in this world. And ever since he has been untiringly striving to seduce human beings from their allegiance to God. He uses the same power that he used in heaven, the influence of mind on mind. Now, no wonder we have so much information out there. Because if he can keep humanity confused, they will not get to the core of the issue, right? Men become tempters of their fellow men. The strong, corrupting sentiments of Satan are cherished and they exert a masterly compelling power. Under the influence of these sentiments, men bind up with one another in confederacies, in trade unions, and in secret societies. Now, we've looked at that in the past, and again, this is a fact. So we have confederacies, we have trade unions. We had that statement before. The trade unions will be one of the means to bring about a time of trouble such as never was.
Yes.
Now, how do you bring about a time of trouble such as never was? Surely, by introducing those or clamoring for that very legislation where God said when that is enacted upon the world, then the calamities will come. So that people can wake up, right?
Yes.
So the trade unions will apply themselves to introducing legislation against God's law.
Correct.
Correct, right? And we've just seen it.
We've seen it.
That's what they want to do. That's exactly what they want to do. And that was the Catholic trade union,
yeah,
which works in harmony with at least 500 different trade unions. And secret societies. We've looked at the role players in this whole drama that we've discussed now for so long.
Mm-hmm.
And we've seen that wherever you go, there is the Jesuit connection. And Klaus Schwab,
exactly.
Where did he study? Jesuit colleges, right?
Yep.
So again, you have this Jesuit connection, this thread running all the way through. Who's the one who introduced Sunday? Who's the one who said this is the mark of our ecclesiastical power? It's Rome.
Yes.
All roads lead to Rome.
And just to put it out there, what is the chance of every single one of these having Jesuit education?
Exactly.
It's a chance.
Whether it is Biden, whether it is Trump, whether it is Schwab. Klaus Schwab, whether whoever, they all have that
link.
Whether it is Macron, they all have that link to Rome. And that's the common factor. And whether we want to call it a conspiracy or not, that is the fact of the matter.
Correct.
And whatever comes out of their mouth is tainted by their ideology. So they bind themselves up in secret societies. I see the one that Biden has appointed to be the one who deals with the climate issue is going to be John Kerry.
Oh.
Now, he's a member of Skull and Bones, yeah, right?
He's also a big part of the Great Reset.
Exactly.
The World Economic Forum.
So are we going to look to these people to save us, or is there another agenda? There are at work in the world agencies that God will not much longer tolerate. Never before has it come to such an impasse as we are now in the stream of time. In a milder form, the same evil and the same spirit has been introduced into our institutions. The Lord opened the matter to me, showing me that the wrong was of the same character as that introduced in heaven. Now, what is that character? It was Satan who was working to bring in certain influences to bind different interests under one control. This was not in harmony with God's will, and it declared that he would not sanction anything of the kind. As soon as you have a controlling spirit, where you want to have everyone shaped in accordance with your will, you are doing the work of the devil.
Mm.
There is only one that you can trust with that kind of authority. And Jesus himself said, when they wanted to exert that spirit even amongst his disciples, he said, "It shall not be so amongst you."
Mm-hmm.
The Gentiles lord it over each other. It shall not be so with you. God made everyone a free agent.
Amen. And that just makes me think now, a lot of people are saying that Trump will drain the swamp if he continues to be president. But he's got the same control mentality with the vaccine that he wants to bring
exactly. out. And they all have this control mentality. They are talking about forced vaccines.
Mm.
Now, that's against your human rights. That is against the Nuremberg Accord, where it is plainly stated that you may not be forced to introduce something into your system if you are against it. We're not talking about the merit here. We're just talking about the issue of forcing a conscience. Whether it is forcing the conscience in terms of a physical thing like a vaccine, or whether it is forcing the conscience in terms of a spiritual issue, such as which day you want to worship God, it's one and the same thing.
Correct.
It is the spirit of Satan. Now, this is a thought that I had. God is the owner of the universe, and as such, the rightful distributor of all things. Is that logical?
Yes.
His character of love compels him to distribute with equity and justice. The whole Bible is about equity and justice. He hates dishonest scales.
Yes.
The adversary claims the same right and also claims total ownership and the right to distribute, but there is no equity. If you just take the temptations of Jesus, the devil had the arrogance to say to him, I will give you all of this, even though it belonged to him in the first place, if you bow down and worship me. So here you have a choice between two characters, one of coercion and one of love. Psalms 50 verse 10 tells us, for every beast of the forest is mine and the cattle upon a thousand hills. Now, who in this world, as we have seen, claims the authority to own everything and distribute everything according to their will?
The Roman Catholic Church.
The Roman Catholic Church. They are the real owners. So they're taking the prerogative of God and applying it to themselves. And basically, that is what it says in Fratelli Tutti, and he will decide who gets what.
Yes.
But before that, everybody has to be disinherited. Mm-hmm. And we saw that even the World Economic Forum had that as one of its chief points, you will own nothing.
And you'll be happy.
And you'll be happy. Mm. Okay. But God is the real owner. Deuteronomy 8 verse 18 says, but thou shalt remember the Lord thy God, for it is he that giveth thee power to get wealth, that he may establish his covenant which he sware unto thy fathers, as it is this day. So if God is the one who owns everything and God is the one who distributes, then there's another power on earth which claims that same authority. Do we have a clash of authorities here?
Yep.
Here's a quote from the youth instructor. God is the owner of the whole man. Soul, body, and spirit are his. God gave his only begotten Son for the body as well as the soul, and our entire life belongs to God to be consecrated to his service, that through the exercise of every faculty he has given, we may glorify him. Now, this looks like an impasse. On the one hand, you have the Son of God, the only begotten Son of God. Mm. And on the other hand, you have Lucifer. Both claiming dominion.
Yes.
Because as we saw at the garden of temptation, Satan claimed dominion and was prepared to relinquish it for a price.
Yeah.
Which was, of course, contrary to God's law. So now Satan on this earth claims this dominion to this day, and he will decide how everything will be distributed equitably according to his character. Mm. And we've seen how Rome has done this in the past, how when you disagreed with her doctrines, how they took away your land, how they eventually brought you to the faggots and burnt you, and how they persecuted you.
Yes.
That was their way of ensuring that everybody follows their will. Now let's just look at the world today. Do only God's people have riches?
No.
The wicked are much more likely to be very rich than the righteous, right?
Yes.
So God allows freedom of choice, and he is not of the same character as the other one. So we belong to God. Now, if I want to serve someone, or if I have a choice to serve one or the other, I would want to know every single thing about that one that I'm going to serve, wouldn't you?
Yes.
And, you know, one has weird thoughts, and one thinks, you know, well, isn't God a control freak too? Doesn't God say, my way or the highway? Doesn't he say that you have to keep the commandments? Mm-hmm. And if you don't keep the commandments, you will die?
Yep.
And the devil says the same thing. You will obey him or else he will eliminate you, right? If you do not accept the mark of the beast, you get the death sentence, right?
Yes.
So we have both parties claiming the same authority over your life. Mm. So now the question is, which of the two authorities do you want to follow?
So we have to do a thorough study.
You have to do a thorough study. Mm. And as we said last time, the Ten Commandments are absolutely logical.
Yes.
And to ask everyone to obey 10 precepts in their depth, when you study them, there are a lot of precepts within the 10 precepts, but the basic concept is very clear. And it is a definite display of love to God and love to your neighbor. How many laws does humanity have?
Thousands.
Thousands.
A nice way of thinking about the Ten Commandments is it's like a hedge. And when you adhere to it, the hedge is around you and God can protect you.
That's a beautiful way, yes. Absolutely. Here's a quote from Testimonies for the Church, Volume 6. And has not the Lord a right to demand this of us? Did he not give his only begotten Son? That's the second time we've read that now. Mm-hmm. Because he loved us and desired to save us from death. And shall not our gratitude offerings flow into his treasury to be drawn therefrom to advance his kingdom in the earth? Since God is the owner of all our goods, shall not gratitude to him prompt us to make free will offerings and thank offerings, thus acknowledging his ownership of soul, body, spirit, and property? Had God's plan been followed, means would now be flowing into his treasury and funds to enable ministers to enter new fields and workers to unite with ministers in lifting up the standard of truth in the dark places of the earth would be abundant. So this question of ownership is very important. And therefore, it is very important that we know who is the owner.
Correct. God is the owner.
God is the owner. In Psalms 2, we read this beautiful psalm about the reign of the Lord's anointed. This is the hope of the world. Mm. Why do the heathen rage and the people imagine a vain thing? Does that remind us of our society today? The kings of the earth set themselves and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed, saying, let us break their bands asunder and cast away their cords from us. Here we have a clash of two moral systems, a clash of laws, if you like. Mm. You have the binding claims of the law of God versus the binding claims of this earthly usurping power. And the great example, as we have discussed all along, leads us right back to the issue of ownership. You find that only in the Sabbath.
Yes.
Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy 6 days. Shall you labor and do all your work? But the seventh day is the Sabbath of your Lord, your God. In it you shall not do any work, etc., etc. Yeah. For in 6 days the Lord made.
He's the owner. The owner?
God is the owner. And they are saying, no, we will not be subject to this. We will break this cord and cast it away. That's the same rebellion as you had in heaven.
Yes.
He that sitteth in the heaven shall laugh. The Lord shall have them in derision. Then shall he speak unto them in his wrath and vex them in his sore displeasure. The world is not going to be harmony, sunshine, and roses.
No, there's no peace.
No.
It might be looking like peace for a few minutes.
That's right. And they're going to look for peace. But they're being vexed, right?
Yes.
Yet have I set my king upon my holy hill of Zion. I will declare the decree the Lord has said unto me. Ask of me, and I shall give ye the heathen for thine inheritance and the uttermost parts of the earth for thy possession. Will there be a redistribution of goods?
Yes.
And who's going to be the master of that?
Well, the devil sits behind it, and the Roman Catholic Church will be the distributor.
And the ultimate redistribution that we see here?
Oh, God.
God.
Yes.
God is going to redistribute.
Yes, after all of this nonsense, he will.
So first they will try and empower themselves and remove that dissenting voice. And then God is going to intervene. Thou shalt break them with a rod of iron, thou shalt dash them in pieces like a potter's vessel. Now this interesting verse 10. Be wise now therefore, O ye kings. Be instructed, ye judges on the earth. Serve the Lord with fear and rejoice with trembling. And then this interesting verse. Kiss the Son, lest he be angry and you perish from the way, when his wrath is kindled but a little. Blessed are all they that put their trust in him. This psalm lays down the gauntlet. You have a choice.
Correct.
You can go with the kings of the world, who, by and large, will choose the opposite party. Or you could kiss the Son. In other words, embrace the Son and escape. So who's the real QAnon?
Jesus.
Jesus is the real QAnon.
Yes.
Will most of the people on this earth choose him?
No, unfortunately not.
Okay, they won't. So we need to know what this battle really is about. This battle is really about him.
Yes.
This is what it's about. It's a battle of authority.
Yeah. It started in heaven and it would have its culmination on earth.
And the law of authority? Which one is that? The fourth commandment.
Correct. That's giving you the ownership of that's who owns right. everything.
And that's why Rome says, I'm above the Bible. That's why I changed the commandment.
Correct. Then other nine commandments could be given by anybody.
Exactly. But nobody can give the fourth commandment.
Except
God. Nobody except God or his usurper.
Yes.
Now let's have a look at this word, the Son of God. And let's look what the Roman Catholic Church says about Jesus, about the Son. So this is www.catholic.com, explaining the Trinity. The Son proceeds from the Father, and the Holy Spirit proceeds from the Father and the Son. These are the two processions in God, and these are foundational to the four relations that constitute the three persons in God. These are those four eternal relations in God. Number one, the Father actively and eternally generates the Son. That's Catholic doctrine.
Mm-hmm.
Thomas Aquinas was of this opinion. And all the encyclicals that we read are steeped in Thomas Aquinas' Greek philosophy. The Son is passively generated of the Father, which constitutes the person of the Son. So this is Roman Catholic doctrine. So in a sense, the Son is virtually a created being.
Yes, according to their doctrine.
Yes, because to generate the Son means to create him.
Yes.
Now, is this biblical?
No.
John 16, verse 28 says, I came from the Father, and I come into the world. Again, I leave the world and go to the Father. Now we have great movements in the world that want to make Jesus just a little bit less than he is, and sometimes quite a lot less than he is, depending who you talk to, right?
Yes.
Now, this word over here, from, is the word para in the Greek. So when Jesus said, I came forth from the Father, the word used there is para. And now, what does the concordance tell us? It's a primary preposition. Properly near, that is, with genitive case, from beside. We don't have to read the whole thing.
Yeah.
The word para is the root for our word parallel. So where did he come from? He came from beside the Father.
Yeah.
So he wasn't generated out of the Father.
No. If you read the sentence, this verse, he came from the Father to go to the Father.
Yes.
For me, it's quite logical. He came from, next to, he was there with him. Yes,
from the beginning.
And he goes back to him.
Correct. Now, when you believe in the fact that he was generated and had a deity, then that deity would in some form be a lesser deity because it was preceded by a greater deity, right? Mm. Then you have the possibility for the entire New Age movement. But now let's have a look at this quote from Selected Messages. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. John 1:4. It is not physical life that is here specified, but immortality. So in him was immortality. Mm. The life which is exclusively the property of God. The Word, who was with God and who was God, had this life. Physical life is something which each individual receives. It is not eternal or immortal. For God, the life-giver, takes it again. Man has no control over his life, but the life of Christ was unborrowed. No one can take this life from him. I lay it down of myself, John 10:18, he said. In him was life original, unborrowed, underived. So was he created?
No.
No. In him was life unborrowed. He didn't receive it from someone else.
No.
Underived. He didn't obtain it from anyone else. This life is not inherent in man. He can possess it only through Christ. He cannot earn it. It is given him as a free gift if he will believe in Christ as his personal Savior. So what's the prerequisite? You have to believe. And if you believe, that means you will obey.
Correct.
Because you want to obey, not because you have to obey. Why would you want to obey?
Because you love him.
And why would you love him?
No, I don't know. Why would you love him?
If you understand his character. If you've made a study of the beauty of his character, that could compel you to actually love him.
Well, I was thinking of your human father. If you look at a young child, that young child, the father don't have to ask him for the young child to love him. It loves him unconditionally in any case.
Yes, but even a human father can be of such a nature that the child trembles before him. But the children in the Bible never trembled. They ran towards him. The little patter of feet. So this is life eternal, that they may know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom thou hast sent. This is the open fountain of life for the world. So everything here in terms of our salvation revolves around this man, Christ Jesus. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Was he a lesser God, or was he in the fullest sense God?
Fullest sense.
For in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, Colossians 2:9. How much of a God was he?
100%
fullness. Was he less than anybody else?
No.
He was the highest. He had all the fullness of the Godhead. Ephesians 3:9, and to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world has been hid in God, who created all things by Jesus Christ. Who's the creator?
Jesus Christ.
So who's the Lord of the Sabbath?
Jesus Christ.
Did he say that?
Yes.
And now to put it beyond a shadow of doubt, for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be on his shoulder. He's the one who will be the ruler. And his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Jesus Christ is fully God, underived, unborrowed. The supremacy of the Son of God. Hebrews 1:2-3. God, who at sundry times and in diverse manners spoke in times past unto the fathers by the prophets, has in these days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he has appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds. He is the Creator. Para, parallel, next to. Who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high. And then verse 8, but unto the Son he has said, thy throne, O God, is forever and ever. A scepter of righteousness is the scepter of thy kingdom. Now, does the world want to reduce the stature of Jesus Christ?
Yes.
The world religions, let's say Islam, mm-hmm. make him no higher than
prophet.
Than a prophet, right? The other religions, the same.
Yes. You've got the occultist, yes. like Alice Bailey and them.
And Roman Catholicism makes him a generated being.
Yes.
And none of this is biblical. None of it. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. Before men or angels were created, the Word was with God and was God. The world was made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. If Christ made all things, he existed before all things. The words spoken in regard to this are so decisive that no one need to be left in doubt. Christ was God essentially and in the highest sense. He was with God from all eternity. Para.
Para.
God over all, blessed forevermore. These statements are very clear.
Yep.
Any movement that tries in the minutest way to diminish the role or the power or the deity of Christ, or makes him a created being of whatever magnitude, is contrary to the Word of God. Who are we dealing with? When we are talking about Jesus Christ, we're talking about God Almighty.
Exactly, the Almighty God.
The Lord Jesus Christ, the divine Son of God, existed from eternity, a distinct person, yet one with the Father. That is a mystery.
Yes.
But we have to accept it because that's what the Bible teaches.
Exactly. We won't understand this fully on this earth.
Are there people that are trying to make everybody understand it in the fullest sense as they see it?
Yes.
But they have to diminish him?
Yes.
He was the surpassing glory of heaven. He was the commander of the heavenly intelligence, and the adoring homage of the angels was received by him as his right. This was no robbery of God. He was, in the fullest sense, God. Now, the Bible has two terms for him. Son of man and Son of God.
Yeah.
And this is so beautiful. Because this is how he linked humanity to the throne of God. Embracing humanity by his divinity, he bound them to the throne of God. And taking humanity, he united humanity with himself. This is the mystery of the gospel. Now, where does this term Son of Man come from? Well, it's a reference to Daniel chapter 7, verse 13 and 14. And I saw in the night vision, and behold, one like the Son of Man. There's that term. Come with the clouds of heaven, and came to the Ancient of Days, and they brought him near before him. And there was given him dominion and glory and a kingdom, that all people, nations, languages should serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion which shall not pass away, and his kingdom that which will not be destroyed. My young friend, if we read this statement, who do you want to choose, QAnon or Jesus Christ?
Jesus Christ. There's not even a question about it.
There's not even a question about it? What about some political leader? Do you think he might rise up and save you? Or some royal leader? Do you think they will save you?
Not at all. I'm looking
Maybe a new Messiah will come.
And reign on the earth.
Yes, maybe an Imam Mahdi or whatever. Do you think so?
Nope.
This is the choice. And this is what we are trying to bring across. The world is at the point of decision. And the world is railing against this man, this Son of Man, who is not only the Son of Man, but also the Son of God. Mm-hmm. So he was the Son of God. It gets to go back to Daniel 3, verse 25. And he answered and said, lo, I see four men loose. This is Nebuchadnezzar looking at the fiery furnace, walking in the midst of the fire, and they have no hurt. And the form of the fourth is like the Son of God. Let's stick to the received text here. Let's stick to how the King James translated it. If you want to go with the others, Son of the Gods.
Gods.
Which is...
blasphemy, if you ask me.
It's almost a blasphemy, yes, if it's not a blasphemy. Son of God. Fully God, fully man. A mystery. Matthew 4, verse 3, and when the tempter came to him, he said, if thou be the Son of God, command these stones to be made bread. Who could turn stones into bread other than God? And Psalms 2, verse 12 says, kiss the Son, lest he be angry and you perish from the way when his wrath is kindled but a little. Blessed are they that put their trust in him. This is the choice for humanity. And this is the solution to all the crises that we have in the world. And no New Age philosophy, no conspiratorial New Age philosophy or otherwise is going to save
us. No world leader is going to save us.
No. And we're going to come to a point of having to make a choice between the authority of God and the authority of man. And who is the owner of everything you have, including yourself?
God.
God. And who are you responsible to when it comes to making choices as what will be done to you?
God.
You're responsible to God.
Yes.
So if anybody wants to force you against your will to do something contrary to your good conscience, then you would have to rely on the owner, right?
Correct.
You'd have to go to the owner and say, excuse me, owner, they want to confiscate this, that, or the other, or force me to do this, that, and the other. How do you claim to deal with this?
That's a beautiful way of doing it.
Yes.
That's the only way.
It's the only way. So anybody who in this world today that is heading towards this calamity wants to postpone the coming of Christ cannot have love in their hearts for him. Luke 5:21, and the scribes and the Pharisees began to reason, saying, who is this who speaks blasphemies? Who can forgive sins but God alone? This is when he was healing the paralytic. He first said to him, your sins are forgiven, right? Mm. And he answered the Pharisees by saying, but that you may know that the Son of Man has power on earth to forgive sins, then says he to the sick and the palsy, arise, take up thy bed, and go into thine house. What does this verse tell you? That he was God.
Yes, definitely.
Who can forgive sins but God alone? And then he says, I will show you that I have this power and I will prove it to you. Yeah. Sick and palsy, get up, rise and walk. Mm. He proves to them that he is God.
Yes.
And what did they want to do?
Kill him.
Kill him. Isn't this a fascinating story?
Yeah.
Do we have the same situation today?
Yes.
They would as verily kill him today as they did then, right?
Yes.
Except this time he's coming in the clouds with power and glory.
Mm-hmm.
And not as a babe in a manger.
No.
Mm. So does the Bible clearly teach the divinity of Christ?
Yes.
Absolutely.
Absolutely.
Does it say that in him was life unborrowed, underived?
Yes.
In him was all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. That means he had it all.
Yes.
It was not generated. So God is the owner of all that man has, the owner of the riches which the selfish appropriate to their own use. With one motion of his hand, he could sweep away everything they possess. Then for real power, we must look beyond the honored and wealthy men of the world. Let's just pause there. Let's say they disinherit you.
Mm.
Is there a possibility of that?
A very good one, yes.
A very good possibility. Who are they really disinheriting?
God.
Interesting, right?
Mm-hmm. So they're mingling with the wrong
person. They're messing person. With the wrong person, right? Okay. Those whose mind reach heavenward find the first cause of all greatness, all honor, all majesty. In comparison with him, human beings are but the small dust of the balance. So what I want to bring across to everyone is terrible things are going to happen in this world.
Yes.
This is not fear-mongering. This is plainly written in the Word of God. If we have a clear understanding of who we belong to and who owns everything,
mm-hmm.
then if someone wants to upset that apple cart, they are dealing with a power that they do not understand. They're thinking that they're dealing with you. They're not dealing with you.
Yeah.
So whatever happens, God knows it.
Yeah. How unfair it may be.
However unfair.
And even if there might be a ruler here and there that comes in and it seems like he's sorting out things, it will not last.
It will not last. So this world is not fair.
No.
There will be decrees against God's people. If the world hates you and wants to kill you, they think they're doing God a favor, right? Mm-hmm. So it's going to happen. Now, don't lose faith in God when it happens.
No.
Because he has predicted it.
Exactly. Now's the time to take hold of his hand.
Exactly. Isaiah 59:14, and judgment is turned away backwards, and justice standeth afar off, for truth is fallen in the streets, and equity cannot enter. Is that the state of the world today?
Yes.
That's it, right?
That's definitely how it is now.
Micah 3:9, hear this, I pray you, ye heads of the house of Jacob, and princes of the house of Israel, that abhor judgment and pervert all equity. Is it also in the church?
Yes.
So it's not only the world, it's also in the church. So in the end, finally, it is between God and us. Where does our allegiance lie? I cannot really trust anyone.
No, it's an individual relationship.
It's an individual relationship. Isaiah 11:4, but with righteousness shall he judge the poor and reprove with equity for the meek of the earth. And he shall smite the earth with the rod of his mouth, and with the breath of his lips shall he slay the wicked. That's where your consolation lies. Not in the fact that the wicked are slain, but that equity will come.
Yes.
Justice will prevail. And it doesn't lie with the World Economic Forum.
No.
The World Economic Forum is not going to bail out this world.
Mm. And the U.S. Supreme Court as well.
They're not going to do it. There's going to be no equity. They're going to choose sides with the great rebel. Psalms 98:9. For he cometh to judge the earth with righteousness, shall he judge the world and the people with equity. And this is where you have to know the character. If you understand the love of God as demonstrated by his willingness to lay down his life for you, that he's never coerced you, never forced you,
mm-hmm.
and Well, we're still going to hold you to your promise. You're going to give your testimony. Were you forced?
No.
No? Did you make a choice of your own free will?
Yes.
Okay, we're going to hold you to that. Psalms 99, verse 4. The king's strength also loveth judgment. Thou dost establish equity. Thou executest judgment and righteousness in Jacob. That's the only place where you will find justice, is with God. Proverbs 2, verse 9. Then shalt thou understand righteousness and judgment and equity, yea, every good path. It is incomprehensible to me that humanity is so bent on destruction that they will choose every single avenue except this one. Does it make sense?
No.
So the Lord chose Levi to minister before him, and an antitypical Levite should have the following properties. In other words, what should the people in the church be like? What should the pastors be like? Mm. The law of truth was in their mouth, Malachi 2 verse 6. And iniquity was not found in his lips. He walked with me in peace and equity and did turn many away from iniquity. Malachi 2 verse 7, for the priest's lips should keep knowledge, and they should seek the law at his mouth, for he is the messenger of the Lord of hosts. If they do not speak in harmony with what God has said, they are on the wrong path. If the minister tells you, and we've had them on the screen, that it doesn't matter which day you keep, or that you should keep Sunday, whichever way they choose, when the Lord clearly says that the seventh day is the Sabbath as a reminder of who you belong to, yeah, then they're not speaking according to the law. Mm. And they're not speaking to according to the words of the Most High, right?
Yes.
So basically, the war is against God himself. And God needs no helpers, as his word is all-powerful and the breath of his mouth is sufficient to fell all his enemies. And this is the important thing. We are in a war. We have clashes amongst groups here on this earth. But the God of heaven is looking at this issue and how it's going to pan out. And what choices people are going to make. But he's in control. He needs no physical army. He doesn't even need the angels. One little word and it will be solved, right? So let's have a look how this is going to pan out. Job 41 verse 21. His breath kindleth coals and a flame goes out of his mouth. That's his word. Psalms 33 verse 6, by the word of the Lord were the heavens made and all the host of them by the breath of his mouth. If he can speak everything into existence, can he speak everything into non-existence?
Yes.
Does he need an army?
Nope.
Does he need tanks? Does he need nuclear weapons?
Nothing.
Isaiah 11 verse 4, but with righteousness shall he judge the poor and reprove with equity for the meek of the earth, and he shall smite the earth with the rod of his mouth, and with the breath of his lips shall he slay the wicked. It only takes a word. I wonder whether the rulers of this world know who they are dealing with.
Yeah. Huh? No, they have no idea.
Do they believe it is just another human being? And he fights the war alone. But love compels him to do all in his power to make his creation understand that happiness is bound up in his law. And thus all are compelled to choose sides. So all of this is a choice.
Yes. That's the beautiful thing.
No matter how bad it looks, right?
Yeah.
Revelation 15:4. Who shall not fear thee, O Lord, and glorify thy name? For thou only art holy. For all nations shall come and worship before thee, for thy judgments are made manifest. It's going to be very clear at the end. And the choice will determine where you will stand. So every question of truth and error and the long-standing controversy has now been made plain. This is a quote from the Spirit of Prophecy. The results of rebellion, the fruits of setting aside the divine statutes, have been laid open to the view of all created intelligences. The working out of Satan's rule in contrast with the government of God has been presented to the whole universe. Satan's own work has condemned him. God's wisdom, his justice, his goodness stand fully vindicated. It is seen that all his dealings and the great controversy have been conducted with respect to the eternal good of his people and the good of all the worlds that he has created. All thy works shall praise thee, O Lord, and thy saints shall bless thee, quoting Psalms 145, verse 10. The history of sin will stand to all eternity as a witness that with the existence of God's law is bound up the happiness of all the beings he has created. With all the facts of the great controversy in view, the whole universe, both loyal and rebellious, with one accord declare, just and true are thy ways, thou King of saints. This is the choice. And humanity can listen to all these wonderful speeches, whether by the World Economic Forum, whether by the United Nations, whether by the presidents of the United States, or whether from a window in Rome. Proverbs tells us, remove not the old landmark, and enter not into the fields of the fatherless, for their Redeemer is mighty, and he shall plead their cause with thee. So they might think they have the power to force you to do things, to disinherit you, to do whatever they deem necessary to
get you,
force their laws upon you. But they're messing with the wrong person here. He that oppresses the poor to increase his riches, and he that giveth to the rich shall surely come to want. Isn't it incredible how the mega corporations, if they are part of the big deal, are enriched more and more and more?
Yes.
Whoso diggeth a pit shall fall therein, and he that rolleth a stone, it will return upon him.
This pandemic really showed some of those things.
Absolutely. These are principles with which are bound up the well-being of society, of both secular and religious associations. It is these principles that give security to property and life. Are they going to disturb those principles?
Yes.
For all that makes confidence and cooperation possible, the world is indebted to the law of God, as given in his word, and as still traced in lines often obscure and well-nigh obliterated in the hearts of men. When I just think how the law of God has been attacked, how every single precept has been dragged through the mud, the psalmist's words, the law of thy mouth is better unto me than thousands of gold and silver. State that which is true from other than a religious point of view. They state an absolute truth and one that is recognized in the business world. Even in this age of passion for money getting, when competition is so sharp and methods are so unscrupulous, it is still widely acknowledged that for a young man starting in life, integrity, diligence, temperance, purity, and thrift constitute a better capital than any amount of mere money. The issue is character. The issue is the choice of whose character do you admire.
Yes.
Now, Jesus says that he has trodden the winepress alone. This is his war. This is a war that started in heaven, and we are trapped in the middle.
Yeah.
As Martin Luther said, you better choose sides. No good trying to be a peacemaker between the devil and Christ.
No.
You're going to get crushed.
Yeah.
Right? So choose sides.
Yes.
Either go and hide behind the devil or hide behind Christ. Isaiah 63 verse 3 says, I have trodden the winepress alone, and of the people there was none with me. Even his disciples ran from him, right? For I will tread them in mine anger and trample them in my fury, and their blood shall be sprinkled upon my garments, and I will stain all my raiment. Now this stain will be with the blood of his enemies. Revelation 19:13 says, and he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. So we are back at the Word of God, which is Jesus Christ.
Correct.
Now, we've discussed Revelation in some detail.
Mm-hmm.
So, in terms of this conflict, we should look at Revelation chapter 19. Because the kings of the world and the powers that be and the rulers and the judges should know who they are dealing with and what the consequences will be if you make the wrong choice.
Yes. Like you just said previously, you have to choose a side. And this will be, if you don't choose God's side, what will happen?
What the consequences yeah. will be. So let's look at Revelation chapter 19. And after these things, I heard a great voice of much people in heaven saying, Alleluia, salvation and glory and honor and power unto the Lord our God. For true and righteous are his judgments, for he has judged the great whore, which did corrupt the earth with her fornication, and has avenged the blood of his servants at her hand. A reference to that system in Rome, mm-hmm. which persecuted God's people throughout all those ages. And again they said, Alleluia, and her smoke rose up forever and ever. Now, this is a reference to finality.
Yes.
In other words, it will be dealt with and absolute. The consequences will be forever and ever. And the 24 elders and the 4 beasts fell down and worshiped God that sat on the throne, saying, Amen, Alleluia. And a voice came from the throne saying, Praise our God, all ye servants, and ye that fear him, both small and great. And I heard, as it were, the great voice of a great multitude, and as the voice of many waters, as the voice of mighty thundering, saying, Hallelujah, for the Lord God omnipotent reigneth. Who's it referring to?
Jesus.
Jesus, right? Because he will be the one that reigns,
correct.
According to the scriptures.
All authority has been given to him.
The dominion has been given to him. Let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to him, for the marriage of the Lamb is come, and his wife has made herself ready. That's the bride of Christ.
Yes, the church.
He's coming to fetch her. The church of all ages. And to her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white, for the fine linen is the righteousness of the saints. Now, all our righteousness is
filthy rags.
All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. So what righteousness do we have here?
Jesus' righteousness. Yes.
Right? This is imputed and imparted righteousness. We stand in his righteousness. What do the new translations say there?
The righteous acts of the saints.
Absolutely horrendous translation. We never have any righteousness. Because the Bible is quite clear that all our works will not save us.
No.
Only the righteousness of Christ. This is the heart of the issue. Now what happens if you don't have that cloak of righteousness? Well, you get thrown out, right?
Yeah.
Revelation 19:9, and he says unto me, Write, blessed are they which are called unto the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he says unto me, These are the true sayings of God. And I fell at his feet to worship him. This is John falling at the feet of the angel that is giving him this revelation. And he said unto me, See that thou do it not. I am thy fellow servant and of thy brethren that have the testimony of Jesus. Worship God. For the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. And the remnant has the spirit of prophecy. So that prophetic gift that sustained God's church through the ages will also be in the remnant. And if you choose to ignore it, you will bear the consequences.
Yes.
And then comes the story of the retributive act of God. Revelation 19:11, And I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse. And he that sat on him was called Faithful and True, and in righteousness he does judge and make war. This is the final act. Mm. Who's on the white horse?
Jesus.
Absolutely, because he's faithful and true, yes, and he's righteous.
Correct.
And who makes war?
He.
He makes war. His eyes were as a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns, and he had a name written that no man knew but he himself. He was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. No doubt.
No doubt. Jesus.
Jesus. All the armies which were in heaven followed him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean. Are they going to fight?
No.
No. No need. The mouth.
Yes.
The word of the mouth is enough. And out of his mouth goes a sharp sword, that with it he should smite the nations, and he shall rule them with a rod of iron, and he treadeth the winepress of the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God. He is the one that has the retributive action. Yes.
He treads the winepress.
The war is about him. And this is what we need to understand. Mm. We need to understand who we are dealing with. We are not dealing with a prophet. We are not dealing with a created person. We are not even dealing with a generated God. We are dealing with God Almighty. And he has in his vesture and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And I saw an angel standing in the sun, and he cried with a mighty voice, saying to all the fowls that fly in the midst of heaven, come and gather yourselves together unto the supper of the great God. This is not the wedding supper.
No, this is the fine.
This is a terrible feast. Mm. Verse 18, that you may eat the flesh of kings, and the flesh of captains, and the flesh of mighty men, and the flesh of horses, and of them that sit on them. So this is talking about the rulers of the world, the kings of the world, and the military of the world. Mm. These people have a choice to make.
Yes.
Just like you had a choice to make.
Correct.
So they have a choice to make.
Every and single person on this earth has a choice.
And they can make as many speeches as they like. Mm-hmm. If they do not choose this side, they have chosen the losing side.
Yes.
Even though it might appear,
yes,
that for a time they have the victory. And of them that sit on them, and the flesh of all men, both free and bond, both small and great. And I saw the beast, the Roman Catholic system, mm-hmm, and the kings of the earth, that's the rulers of the earth,
yes,
and their armies. Makes it pretty clear. This is Hebrew parallelism. Mm. Tells us exactly what this verse is about. Gather together to make war against him that sat on the horse and against his army. You can't fight against God.
No.
So they attacked God's people. Mm. So what side do you want to be on?
God's side.
Are you sure?
Definitely.
And the beast was taken, Roman Catholicism, and with him the false prophet, all those preachers that come out of other denominations that say, you don't have to keep God's law. Mm-hmm. You don't have to keep the Sabbath. You
can make it any day.
You can make it any day. It doesn't really matter. We have to obey man more than God. Mm. That wrought miracles before him, with which he deceived them that had received the mark of the beast and them that worshipped his image. These both were cast alive into the lake of fire, burning with brimstone. So there is no great physical war here. God speaks and he takes hold of them and he throws them into the fire as though they didn't even offer the slightest resistance. They are dumbfounded. And this lake of fire is the second death. Mm. And what is left after the kings and the rest of them have been destroyed? The remnant was slain with the sword of him that sat upon the horse, which sword proceeds out of his mouth, and all the fowls were filled with their flesh. So this is the great day of the Lord's Supper. Now, when we read further, and it says, "And I saw the beast and the kings of the earth and their armies gathered together to make war against him that sat on the horse and against his army. These shall make war," says Revelation 17, "with the Lamb." This is a war against Christ. We need to make this absolutely clear. "And the Lamb shall overcome them. For he is Lord of lords and King of kings, and they are that are with him are called and chosen and faithful."
But you have to compare it with the Word of God. Yes. And then you can know if what you are serving is truly
absolutely true God. You cannot bend the Word. Psalms 18 verse 3 says, "I will call upon the Lord who is worthy to be praised, so shall I be saved from mine enemies." We have to choose sides. Mm. Revelations 5, 2, "And I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, who is worthy to open the books, to loose the seals thereof." Only Christ comes back to the same thing. So we are in a war. But the war around us is not our war, it is his war. Mm. It is the same war that took place in heaven. And it is culminating here on earth. Proverbs 20 verse 18 says, "Every purpose is established by counsel, and with good advice make war." And we need to heed that counsel. Mm. We have to be involved in this war heeding good advice. Where would you like your advice to come from? From any human being or from the Word of God?
From the Word of God.
Not even from me, right?
No.
No. Who am I? It must be tested by this word.
Exactly.
"For by wise counsel," says Proverbs 24 verse 6, "thou shalt make war, and in the multitude of counselors there is safety." So people that have consensus that the word of God is paramount, with them you can go to war. So Satan's occult army has always been at war with the Word and has tried to destroy it. And we must take our stand not on signs and wonders and dreams and apparitions, but on the Word. That is the measure.
Mm. Very, very important not to take your stand on signs and wonders.
No.
Because this is prevalent out now. We've seen numerous of these prophets declaring miracles. And all of this.
I don't know whether we can trust all of those prophets. No. Revelation 11:7, "And when they shall have finished their testimony, the beast that ascendeth out of the bottomless pit shall make war against them and shall overcome them and kill them." This system, this Antichrist system that has been working at destroying faith in God and in his word and in his law, arose out of the French Revolution, but it will be destroyed. Revelation 12 says, "And the dragon was wroth with the woman and went to make war with the remnant of her seed, which keep the commandments of God and have the testimony of Jesus." Why are we putting all these verses in there? We have to know what the war is about. Mm-hmm. We have to know who the role players are in the world. And we have to know who the final target is going to be.
Yes. So that you can make a decision.
Correct. So now, the kings of the world, are they on the good side or not?
No, they're not on God's side.
Right. And their armies?
The same.
And the religious systems, the beast and the false prophet?
Prophets, it's the same.
The same. So where do you look?
Mm-hmm. In the Word.
And the dragon is wroth against that remnant church which keeps the commandments and has the testimony of Jesus Christ. So we know the role players. We know the final target. We know the outcome of the war. Mm-hmm. But we are caught in the conflict before it comes to its culmination. So all who can do should now make a decided effort to show to others the binding claims of the law of God. By pen, by voice, by God's entrusted talent of means, everyone should labor to the utmost of his ability to bring to an end the elements of strife and discord and to expose the deceptive errors that, like a flood of corruption, are deluging the world. If you love the world, you're in enmity with God. Mm. If you think that all these leaders are leading you to righteousness and truth, then you haven't understood the first thing about the Word of God.
That's precisely what's happening.
So God's remnant church, no name which can be taken will be appropriate, but that which accords with our profession and expresses our faith and marks us as a peculiar people. The name Seventh-day Adventist is a standing rebuke to the Protestant world. Here is the line of distinction between the worshippers of God and those who worship the beast and receive the mark. The great conflict is between the commandments of God and the requirements of the beast. We've been preaching this all along.
Mm-hmm.
We can see the culmination. This is actually an appeal.
Yes.
Who are you choosing? What side are you on? And if you choose a side, what is the basis for your choice?
The Word of God should be the basis of your choice.
And if you choose the worldly laws as opposed to the law of God, who are you messing with?
With God.
So the woman is the symbol of the church, and the remnant of the church represents the Christians of the last generation of men living just prior to the second advent. The dragon makes war on these for keeping the commandments of God, Sabbath and all, and having the testimony of Jesus Christ, which according to the inspired definition is the spirit of prophecy. Here then are the causes of the dragon's warfare upon the remnant. They teach the observance of 10 commandments and the revival of the gifts and acknowledge the gift of prophecy amongst them. And when the devil got one foot upon the fourth commandment and the other upon the gifts planted in the Christian church by Jesus Christ, then his satanic majesty was filled with revengeful delight. But when the remnant, whom God designs to fit for translation to heaven without seeing death, ask for the old path, where is the good way and walk therein, then the dragon is wroth and makes war on them. This is logical.
Yes.
This is biblical.
Mm-hmm.
And this is what it's all about. And the rest is window dressing.
Correct.
Stepping stones to a great conflict with God. There is a grand rebellion in the earthly universe. Is there not a great leader of that rebellion? It's a good question, mm-hmm. right? Is not Satan the life and soul of every species of rebellion which himself has instigated?
Ooh.
Here's an interesting point. There was a recent article in a German newspaper talking about religious systems, naming the Seventh-day Adventists, and talking about some of their extreme views, conspiratorial.
Yes.
And one of the issues was that some of these, especially in the south of Germany, actually believe in the existence of a devil. Isn't that amazing?
Yep.
The world has totally disregarded the teachings of the Word of God, lost sight of an enemy, and no wonder they are being led by the nose, not knowing which way they are going. And so this little conspiratorial group, as they say, this group of fanatics who believe in a literal devil, still exists to some extent in the churches, and particularly the Adventists are mentioned. Well, I would like to tell the editorial of that magazine that I am proud of the fact that I have made a literal choice between a literal person who is also God Almighty, Jesus Christ, and a literal leader of a rebellion who is called Satan.
Yes. Just for interest's sake, all the movies that come out where there's a dictator, like, for instance, if one name comes to mind, it's The Hunger Games.
Yes.
There was three movies like that. And you've got the antagonist, but he's this ruler of the earth. And all these type of dystopian movies and so on, the rebellious are the ones that are victorious in the end.
Yes. But here it will be turned. The tables will be turned.
Who's the master rebel?
Absolutely. Is not Satan the life and soul of every species of rebellion which himself has instigated? Is he not the first great apostate from God? A rebellion exists. Lucifer revolted from his allegiance and makes war on the divine government. Christ is appointed to put down the rebellion. He makes the world his battlefield. He stands at the head of the human family. He clothes his divinity with humanity. And he passes over the ground where Adam fell and endures all the assaults of Satan's temptations, but he does not yield in a single instance. Amazing that the newspaper can ridicule people that believe in a literal Satan. Mm. And at the same time, the Freemasons claim that the power of Lucifer is in their hands. Manly Palmer Hall talks about this power of Lucifer, and Albert Pike says, doubt it not that Lucifer is the one that they serve, the true light. And Alice A. Bailey says that Lucifer is the one that they worship and serve, and that Adonai is the evil one. Mm. So the reversal. They all believe in a literal devil and worship him. And all these people in their secret societies with their Luciferian oaths.
Yeah.
And there is no real battle. Make no mistake, there's a battle.
Yeah, and the New Age. The New Age is actually the white magic.
Yes.
Where the others are the black magic.
Yes.
But they're still from the same stall.
Why do you think you can give titles to the basest of Luciferians or Satanists, like rock bands of the world that make music which honors Satan directly, even in their lyrics, never mind the bedlam of noise that goes along with it. The bulk of them worship the dragon which gave power unto the beast, and they worship the beast, saying, who is like unto the beast, who can make war with him? And it was given unto him to make war with the saints and to overcome them, and power was given him over all kindreds, tongues, and nations. And Revelation 14:19, and the angel thrust in his sickle into the earth and gathered the vine of the earth and cast it into the great winepress of the wrath of God. Unfortunately, the majority will choose the rebel. But here's an appeal to the leaders of the world. It is not too late. There are politicians out there who can see clearly. Make your choice and choose to come out and be separate. Who is this that comes from Edom? Isaiah chapter 63. Whose dyed garments from Bozrah. Can you see the connections?
Yes.
Revelation is a beautiful mm-hmm. book. You have to pick up the imagery in the Old Testament in those typical wars and apply them to this great anti-typical war. And it's amazing how the devil gets people to make the type a type.
Yes.
And to make it a real war between physical entities here on earth.
Yeah.
It's not what it's about.
As soon as you disconnect Revelation from the rest of the Bible, then you've got those problems.
Then you have those problems. And that is a Jesuit strategy. This that is glorious in his apparel, traveling in the greatness of his strength, I that speak in righteousness, mighty to save. It's a reference to God himself. Verse 2 says, wherefore art thou red in thy apparel, and thy garments like him that treadeth the wine fat? I have trodden the winepress alone, and of the people there was none with me, for I will tread them in mine anger, and trample them in my fury, and their blood shall be sprinkled upon my garments, and I will stain all my raiments. I don't want to be part of that blood. I want to be part of the remnant that is dressed in white,
yes.
That has the righteousness of Christ. A sword is upon the liars, and they shall dote. A sword is upon her mighty men, and they shall be dismayed. And then this promise, they won't be there. But the fearful, the unbelieving, and the abominable, and the murderers, and the whoremongers, and the sorcerers, and the idolaters, and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. So we're talking about a final obliteration. Mm-hmm. They will be destroyed forever. Now, you know, this list is very interesting because it starts very carefully. It starts with the fearful, goes to the unbelieving, and then comes to the abominable and the murderers and the whoremongers. Mm. So if you are fearful, in other words, what is he saying?
You are scared of Jesus' second coming.
Not only that, you are scared to tell the truth.
Yeah.
Because you are ashamed of the truth. So you do not want to create waves. And that is a dangerous position to be in. And if you are unbelieving, well, that's logical. Mm-hmm. If you don't have faith in Christ and you reject his proffered hand, that's one thing. And then, of course, the other reasons are logical. But it's interesting that it starts with the fearful. But now that we've seen all of this destruction and we've set the stage, the world is on the point of decision. They're in the valley of decision. They're in the valley of Jehoshaphat.
Yes.
And they have to make a choice. And the choice is between Christ and Belial. You have to make a choice. Mm-hmm. You have to understand the claims of the God who created you versus the great rebel. We see where the world stands. They've made their choice. Individuals can change.
Yes.
And then the promise. After all this destruction, Malachi 4 verse 2, but unto you that fear my name shall the Son of Righteousness arise with healing in his wings, and ye shall go forth and grow up as calves of the stall. The great controversy, I believe, is coming to an end.
Yes.
I believe we've reached an age of climax. There's no turning back. There will be a great reset.
Mm-hmm.
And that great reset will be initiated by the devil and culminated by Jesus Christ. Where do you want to stand?
On Jesus' side.
I hope that the listeners will make the same choice, because he is truly God and truly man. And as man, he feels our infirmities and feels with us. And as God, he has the power to save us, redeem us, restore us. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, this war that has been raging ever since it started in heaven and then for almost 6,000 years on this earth is coming to a head. May we make the right choice, is my prayer in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.